chapter 12 this afternoon. Luke chapter 12, and we will begin reading in verse 13. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, Father, thank you again for the word of God. Help us to understand the truth of your word. Let us get what we need from the scriptures today. Lord, help me to be a blessing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is probably one of the passages of scriptures that made a lot of people mad when it happened. Because I want you to look at what happened here. Jesus is there teaching, and it said, One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And then Jesus addresses that man, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he turned around and addressed everybody else that was there that heard the exchange. And he said, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes on to tell this parable of the rich man. Now, before we go on there, I want you to understand that Jesus publicly, what we would call, dressed this man down. He publicly came and asked the Lord Jesus, and Jesus, seeing into his heart, publicly put him on display. Now that tends to make people angry. That tends to make people mad. And I'll tell you what, you address something publicly and people don't like that. So I can guarantee that this man, most likely, if he's like most people, he might have got a little bit upset. He might have felt embarrassed. You know, that's a sad thing, but that happens in churches all the time. The preacher preaches, and they don't want to be publicly dressed down. They don't want to come during an invitation because they don't want to tell anybody else they're having a problem. Think about it. I don't want to confess to everybody else that I'm having a problem in the area that the preacher preached, so I'm not going to go to the altar. You know, the sad thing is, people don't come to the altar, they get invited to come forward, and they not only don't come to the altar for salvation, but they don't come to the altar to pray, and they hold back, and you know what they do? They go away and never deal with the problem. Now, I'm under no illusions that this altar is the only place you can deal with the problem. Matter of fact, most of my preaching, I let you, and I trust you, to go and speak to God yourself. But I know for a fact that it doesn't always happen that way. I know because of my own life. That there are times when I've been embarrassed and I was like, I don't know if I want to go up in front of the go to the altar and pray about this because, you know, I don't want people to think ill of me. But you know, it's really not about you, is it? It's about right and wrong, isn't it? It's about getting help. And sadly, people will justify not coming to the altar, but how do you justify not dealing with God when God spoke to your heart about something? How do you justify not dealing with God about that alone? Okay, I get it. You don't want to come to the altar. Fine. I don't try to force anybody. But if God spoke to your heart, good night. We need to deal with it. If look at our nation, look at the way it's falling apart around us. If anybody needs to deal with God, we ought to be the ones on the forefront saying, hey, God spoke to my heart. I need to fix this thing. I need to get right with God. I need God's help. I need the power of God on my life. I need that. Not, well, I didn't want to go up on the altar. Well, that's fine. I understand that. But that's not an excuse for never going to the Lord about it. I just throw that out there because people get embarrassed, don't they? But back to the task at hand, back to what we're talking about here. He says this. He says, and one of the company came, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, to all of them, he said, Take heed. And beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, I mean, he had a banner crop. His banner year. I'm hoping for a banner year this year. You know, with food prices and all that stuff going up, I got my garden planted, got most of my early summer garden planted. Still have a few things I've got to put in, but I've got those things in, and they're looking, they're doing well. And I'm hoping for a banner crop. I tell you, because last year it rained. Every time I got seed in the ground, it rained and poured and flooded and everything else, and I didn't even have a garden. Nothing to speak of last year. But this year, everything's looking good, and I'm happy, and I'm looking forward to, I hope we have a banner crop, and that happens sometimes, doesn't it? People invest time and effort, especially you got farmers, and it's a banner crop. Farmers want banner crops. This year, I've been doing a little hearing and things, and I'm hearing that a lot of farmers, because of the cost of fertilizer, are not planting corn. They're planting soybeans because soybeans take less fertilizer. Because fertilizer costs have like doubled, tripled, or more. And so they're planting things that don't take as much fertilizer because for the cost. Well, that's just going to be another thing that's going to impact us, isn't it? I mean, down the line, we look at that, that's going to cost us at the gas pump with the ethanol, and that's going to cost us in the grocery store and everything else if there's a shortage of corn. But you say, why are they doing that? Because they want a banner crop. They want to make a good profit. They want something good. And they want to be able, they don't want to go broke trying to do it. And this man had a banner crop. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He had more than he could store. He had more than he could store. He had an abundance, an overabundance of things. And so he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I'm going to build bigger barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He said, Not only this, this is such a banner year, and I'm going to retire. I'm going to say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to labor. My ship has come in. And I'm just going to say, just take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now this man, going back to the message from this morning, are you prepared? If there was ever a man prepared for hard times, this was it. This was a man prepared for hard times. This was a man who had more than he needed. And he had the means to build bigger barns to put it in. And he had stuff laid up for many years and was good for years to come. And he said, it's time for me to relax. Time for me to retire. I've hit the big time. I don't need to work anymore ever again. I have all I'll ever need. But he didn't. Did he? I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And then verse 20, God says, God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, you've got all this stuff that you have and you're going to die tonight. You're going to stand before me tonight. You're going to give an account to me. And you're going to leave all of that behind. And then whose are all those things going to be? Somebody else is going to get them, aren't they? If there's anything that ought to be evident in the United States of America, that there are a lot of people who work really hard, and it's not always this case, but generally down the line, somewhere in a family line, you have those that work hard and labor hard to make money, and they become wealthy. And then somebody comes along the line, and either through malfeasance or outright theft, or just because somebody's lazy and worthless, they come into a bunch of money and they waste it all. It never goes where it's supposed to go. It never accomplished what was intended. How many companies have gone under because of the people behind them thought that they didn't need to put any work in? And they just deteriorate, don't they? Wealth grows wings and evaporates. We see that. But I tell you what, if there was a man that was prepared, this is it. He'd work hard, he became rich. And now he's got a bumper crop and he decides, I'm just going to pull down the barns and build more. Now, he had already had plenty. He could have done a lot of different things with that. Now, this goes back to the fellow that's complaining, doesn't it? Because he wants what he thinks is his fair share. Somewhere along the line, he didn't think he got a fair shake when the inheritance was rolled out. And he wanted what his father had given to his brother. He was covetous. His focus was on things. Now, the rich man in the parable could have done a lot of good with that food, extra food, couldn't he? He could have fed a lot of people. He could have helped a lot of folks. He could have helped his family. But no, it was all about himself, wasn't it? And you know the one thing that he neglected to do was prepare his soul. And he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I don't have to tell you all the different passages of Scripture that we talk about laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. He talks and he goes on the same chapter and talks about the life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what is for the body, what you should put on. He tells us, consider the raven, the fowls of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, they have neither storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. How much are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add one stature to his stature one cubit? And he said, if you be then not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? And he said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. And he goes on and he talks about waiting for the Lord and waiting for the coming of the Lord and all those type of things that he talks about in these other parables. But there you have a picture of a person who had prepared vigorously for his whole life, but wasn't prepared for the day of his death. And I know this kind of folds into the message this morning, and intentionally so. But one of the greatest things that cause us not to be prepared is covetousness. The Bible tells us to flee from covetousness, which is idolatry. When we're always focused on things, on wealth and this and that, and I'm happy for anybody who gets wealthy, but if you're not happy for other people to be wealthy, then you got a problem. That's just the truth. The simple fact is that, yes, we prepare to the very best of our ability. Some of us end up having more than others, and some of us end up having more for different reasons. Sometimes it's left to us, sometimes it's earned, and sometimes it's both. You know, I believe a good, faithful son or daughter that gets a good inheritance and they were good and faithful, I think that's earned. I don't know about you, but I think it's earned. Granted, there are a lot of people who got a lot of things they didn't earn, but it's theirs. It's not ours. But here we have the perfect example of what we're talking about. Somebody who's prepared in every way except for his death. He's not ready to meet God. He's not ready. To give an account. His soul's not ready. And we have multitudes that go out to eternity. I hate doing funerals for people if I'm not sure they're saved. That is, to me, the hardest thing to do, because you want to give people hope, but you don't want to give them false hope. You want to speak well and you want to comfort people, but you don't want to leave anybody with any false ideas. It's hard. It's a balancing act sometimes.
It's difficult. It does my heart so good to know that somebody has a clear testimony of salvation when I go to preach a funeral. I hate not knowing, don't you? I hate not knowing what to say when somebody leaves this world. I hate having to tiptoe down that line. Of trying to give somebody comfort, yet telling the absolute truth. And don't get me wrong, it's in the Word of God. There's scripture abounds for all this stuff. It's just hard to do. But as awkward as that is, what's even more awkward if you yourself are not prepared. If you yourself are not ready. Are you ready to stand before God? You'd think we'd get smart. You'd think we'd realize, well, my life's going to be over. I'm going to have to give an account to God. Boy, I might need to change some things. I might need to have a conversation with God about my behavior and my heart. I might want to invest the time I have left in doing something, doing more for the Lord, laying up more treasure in heaven. But so often that's not the case, is it? Isn't that a shame? The old preachers used to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. There's a truth in that. Here's a man. He wants Jesus to divide the inheritance. He wants Jesus to go talk to his brother. And everybody wants to know they had a fair shake, don't you? We all do. That doesn't need to turn into covetousness. And the message here is there are things more important than things. Spiritual things are more important than worldly things. And worldly things are just given to us for provision and means to increase spiritual things. That's what they're there for. So I just want to challenge you with that today. I just want you to think about your life and, you know, everything you have. And trust me, I am happy for everybody here. If you come up to me and told me today that you inherited $1 billion, I'd be happy for you. And I'd know who to go to if I needed a loan. That'd be a good plan. but I'm not going to sit there and bellyache because I didn't get $1 billion. What would be the good in that? That wouldn't prepare me for heaven, would it? That wouldn't prepare me to stand before the Lord Jesus. No, wouldn't prepare me at all. So many things we get caught up in with our life, and we forget that how we react reflects how prepared we are. This man in the parable, this rich man, He was well prepared to feed his belly, but he did so at the neglect of his own soul. Let's not neglect our soul. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for everything you've given and your love and your mercy and your kindness. We thank you for giving us the Word of God today and giving us the reminder that we need to be prepared for the day that we stand before you. Lord, if there's one that's lost that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they go to heaven, I pray you'd help them to see they need to prepare for the day of their death. They need to be sure of their eternal destination. They need to know for sure whether if they died today they'd go to heaven or not. But Lord, for us that have trusted Christ as our Savior and we're certain of our home in heaven, we're certain what's going to happen the day of our death, Lord, help us to realize that we need to be there, that we ought to labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.